particularly familiar reading at this point. So a lot of churches will have this reading. A lot of clergy, whatever you want to call them, will be preaching on this passage either this Sunday or next Sunday as we step into Lent. So a lot of you will know this passage really well. But as we read it, I think to yourself, I wonder what, I'm going to ask you as well during my message, what would you, once you've read this, what would you preach on? If you were me, stood here, all right, if you were, what would you preach on? All right, so I'm going to ask you at some point, once we've done the reading, and I'll start. So not just think about what's been put up here. Think to yourself, if I was going to follow that now, and I'm going to put a message onto it, what would it be? All right, so I'm going to put you an extra little test today. Are we ready? This is from Matthew 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to a holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you and will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Yeah. Familiar passage, I'm sure, and we'll pick up on it. As we know, our posters, as I said earlier on, we're moving towards Lent. This Tuesday is Shrove Tuesday, not Pancake Day. Why do people eat pancakes? Well, in the past, what people used to do the day before Lent started, Ash Wednesday, they would use up all the kind of rich foods, things like eggs and milk and butter, type of things that you'd make pancakes. With the idea is that they would use those up as they step forward into to Lent and this time of fasting and preparation. Because then on Wednesday will be Ash Wednesday, the start of Lent again, these 40 days, as we journey towards Easter. And the question probably is, what is Lent going to be for you and me? Well, you might think, well, nothing really. It's just there, isn't it? Lent, something we talk about, we know about. 40 days, the Ash Wednesday, Lent. Maybe for you it's a time to think, oh, I need to buy my Easter eggs. I wonder if you've got a favourite Easter egg that you've got your eye on. Maybe for some people it's a time to give up something. And if so, what would you give up? I don't know, maybe some people give up chocolate or alcohol or social media. But perhaps more important is why. Why do people do that? Some people take up something. I know we used to do a thing called, when we used to have an opportunity to do what we called an ARC, an act of random kindness, every day during Lent. This sense of not just giving up something, but perhaps doing something positive in that space. Lent is often seen as a time, isn't it, of reflection and preparation for Easter again. And we can do this in lots of different ways. And we've done a thing here where if you want to, because there's a number of organisations that sort of perhaps give you an email or something like that every day sort of to help you to reflect through Lent. And I picked three and put them on a little sheet, so you could take these away if you want to. So the Bible Society are doing one where you could, they're doing a journey through Psalms during Lent. Stewardship are doing 40 acts, a sort of an act challenge, this kind of reflect on Lent, but then do something every day which blesses people. Tear Fund, another charity that we support, are doing a thing as well, where you, again, reflections through Lent. Most of these are when you get, for those of you on email, you'll get, if you sign up, you get an email every day as a little bit of an extra, and it's just a way of journeying through Lent. If you don't have emails, I've got some sheets and different things you can take away as well. But it's just a way of using Lent as a time of reflection and preparation. How might we use the period of Lent? How might we benefit from it? What might we learn during it? How might it prepare us again for a full Easter experience? That's at the heart of what I'm trying to share. So we have this passage. This is a very common passage. This is often the passage used where to at the beginning of Lent, Jesus in the wilderness, 40 days. So we get that 40 number again. And it helps us, and that's the kind of launch into Lent for us. So if you were to do my message today, based on that passage, what would you talk about? Anybody? You'd talk about what? The importance of Scripture. And I also talked about memorizing Scripture the other week, didn't she? The importance of Scripture to combat the devil's lies. Yeah, anything else? Being in the wilderness of some level, yeah? How we deal with temptation? Don't barter with the devil anyway, certainly. There's lots you can get in this. And I must admit, when I sat down to think about it, I wrote 4 sermons. Strap in. Okay. But there's more. Let's see how we go. You know, Jesus, it says in the passage, just before this passage, Jesus is baptized by his cousin John. And then he is led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. 40 days he's there. During which time he follows the discipline of fasting and prayer. And while there, Jesus is tested or he's tempted 3 times by the devil. Here's the first 4 of my sermon today, my first sermon. And they're very short. So the different sermons, I think, will speak to different ones. The first sermon is this. The wilderness will often at some point or points be part of our Christian journey. The wilderness will often at some point or some points be part of our Christian journey. Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. It was not an accident. All right? He was led there by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the wilderness had importance and had purpose. I think we at times of life, especially in our spiritual life, might find ourselves in what we call a wilderness place. I'm not talking about being in a desert, you know, in the Sahara. I can't name the deserts now. Yeah, any desert. Anyway, you know, can name a desert. We're not talking about being in a desert. We're talking in a place, but in that sense of how we're feeling around our lives. Times when we feel dry. Times when we're wandering a bit. Times when we're struggling on and it feels a struggle. Wilderness times. And in those times we might think to ourselves, oh, I shouldn't be here. I don't like it here. I'm a Christian. Get me out of here. That sense of, I don't want to be in that desert wilderness place. But looking at the Bible, we might also need to ask, what is God doing here? What is God showing me here? What might I learn here in the wilderness? You know, in the Old Testament, the Israelites spent 40 years in the wilderness as God taught them and showed them and shaped them and prepared them for the promised land. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness before his 3 years of ministry that would change the world forever. So, sermon one. If you are in a spiritual wilderness at this time, or you find yourself in one in the future, then I wonder what God might want to do in you to get you ready for what's ahead when you come out of that wilderness. And I believe if you hang on to him, you will. But my hope is not just that you will come out of it, you will come out of it better equipped for the next stage of your God story. So wilderness can be part of a Christian journey, very much biblically based. It was for the Israelites, it was for Jesus, but there is importance in the wilderness and there can be real purpose in the wilderness. So don't always think, I'm in a wilderness, woe is me. Maybe you think, I wonder what God's doing. What's God ahead for me? Sermon one. Sermon two is this. We are in a battle. I say it again and I mean it. We, and because I'm speaking in church, I'm focusing on Christians. Christians are in a battle. And I say this not to scare you, but to equip you. The battle of the flesh and the world and the devil are very, very real. This passage clearly reminds us that there is an enemy of God that comes against us. His aim is to undermine us, to lie, to bring down, to confuse, to distract, to destroy, to pull us away from what God wants for us. And he has many tactics. But one of the enemy's biggest tactics, very clearly again in this passage, is temptation. We will all face it. And so we have to be honest again and ask the question, what is our temptation or temptations? What or where is our weakness in that area? Just pause for a minute. Have a little think about that. Because we're all different, but we will all face temptations. Where is our weaknesses? And we'll know them. You know, temptation is not a sin. Jesus was tempted 3 times by the devil in the wilderness. But when we give in to it, it is. Jesus resisted each time because he is our sinless Saviour. But when we give in to sin, then it pollutes our relationship with God. It negatively affects our Christian walk. And also the devil will often use it to bring the chains of shame and the chains of guilt into our lives. And those are very different from what God might do is what we call conviction. So it's not about being convicted of sin, which is to bring sin forward so that we can deal with it, which sometimes God does through the Holy Spirit. What the devil does is hold us in shame and guilt because of what we've done, and he keeps reminding us and he keeps trying to hold us there. So what do we need to hear again today? Well, I think we need to hear this, that we can have victory over temptation in Christ Jesus. You do know that, don't you? We need to want to fight it. We want to claim it. We need to act in it. But in and with Christ, we can overcome temptation. And that doesn't matter. And that stands whether that temptation or that weakness has been part of you for days, months, or even years. We can still claim and overcome temptation in Christ Jesus. I think we always need to be reminded that there is always, always, always forgiveness available when our heart is sorry and repentant, when we're saying, seriously, God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go down this line of temptation that sometimes grabs me. when we're honest about that before God and we're repentant, that means we're trying to turn away from it and we're saying sorry to God, there's always a chance to start again. And again, that's true today. No matter how long these temptations you've battled with or you've faced, if it's just something that happened yesterday or that's been part of you for years, there is opportunity today to overcome it, and there's opportunity to be forgiven again and to have that opportunity to start again. And I know the enemy will whisper, yeah, but you've been there many times. Oh, you know, God's not going to forgive you this time. You're too many. It's like going to Oldham Food Bank. You're only allowed 3 vouchers in a certain period. And it's like, no, it's more like our food bank. You can come every week and get food. Every day, forgiveness is always available. Romans 8, verse 1. Let me just say this as well. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And I speak that again over any shame or guilt that people might be carrying. Because the enemy will do that. He puts us in shame. He puts us in guilt, embarrassment. The Bible says there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Hold that promise, some of you, today. We're in a battle. It's my second sermon. My third sermon is this. There is value in prayer and in fasting. You know, Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness fasting and praying. There is a Christian discipline of self-denial. Self-denial of time, of luxury, or even necessity. We are often reminded of this more during Lent than any other time, when sometimes people decide to make a small sacrifice during Lent, to give up something for the 40 days. Chocolate, coffee, social media, whatever it might be. Or, as we said before, people decide to take up something, make a small sacrifice to do something extra. Maybe to do something like every day have a few more minutes with God through a different Bible passage that's been sent on an email. That sense of giving up sacrifice, or that sense of taking up sacrifice. You know, I believe there can be some real value in this. But remember, it's not just about doing it. It's about how we use it. It's not just about, well, I'm not going to have coffee every day for the next 40 days and then moan about it. It's not really it. All right? And I'm going to make sure everybody else knows I'm moaning about it as well. Do you know what? I've not had coffee today. I'm not had chocolate. No, no, don't do it. Put it away from me. It's not about the sense of just doing it or taking it. What it's about is how we use that. And ideally, we're using that sense of sacrifice, whether it's to stop doing something or to take up something extra, to make that sacrifice, that it brings us closer to God. And it opens up more the opportunity for us to receive again and to learn again as we approach Easter. And like I said in my assembly this week to Burnley Brow, these small sacrifices can also point us to the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. Sermon 1. The wilderness will often point us will often at some point be part of our Christian journey. Sermon 2, we are in a battle. Sermon 3, there is a value in prayer and fasting. And so my final sermon today is this. It's all about making the right God-Christian choices. And I say that as we consider the 3 temptations, the 3 tests that Jesus faced. The first one, wasn't it, when the enemy came to him in the wilderness, he said, why don't you just turn the stone into bread? And I think that challenges us about what we need. Yes, of course we need food, we need shelter, we need relationship, and we need love, and other things probably. But we also need God. We firstly need God for our salvation. I believe that Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. I believe it's only through Jesus that we can, what we call, be saved. If there were lots of other ways to God, why on earth would God allow Jesus to go through the cross? He wouldn't. The fact that God allowed Jesus to go through the cross, for me, tells me that Jesus is the only way to God. It's not by being nice. It's not by following a different religion. It's not by coming to church. It's about accepting Jesus. The only way. We need God for our salvation. But then as you grow as a Christian, you realize, I think, how much you need God every day, actually. There's a Matt Maher song that we sometimes have played, and he says, Lord, I need you. But he actually says, and I thought it was every day, but it doesn't. It says, every hour I need you. I think when you begin to realize that more and more as a Christian as you go along, we sometimes sing a song, don't we? You are the air we breathe. You are our daily bread. God is our spiritual food. He is our shelter and our relationship and love. He daily wants to sustain us and care for us and inspire us and encourage us and fuel us and equip us and guide us, and on and on and on it goes. So when we think about that first temptation of Christ, the question for me is, do you hunger and thirst after God? Do you understand that you need him for your salvation? But daily, as you walk through your lives, whatever that shape or way it runs. And if you do have that hunger and thirst for God, well, how is that shown really? You can't say, well, I do. Yeah, of course I do. But how is that shown in you? How do you go for God? How do you pursue him? How do you desire him? How do you help? How do you go to eat from his goodness? I don't know. How is it shown in you? The challenge of the stone into bread for me is, what do we need? And do we know we need God? The second temptation, Jesus is taken to a high place. The devil says, throw yourself off. The angels of God will catch you, as it says in the Old Testament. For me, this challenges where we put our trust. Alison spoke about this the other week. Where do we put our trust? Again, we sing, don't we? I will trust in you alone. But again, we can sing that, but what does this look like in reality in our lives? And what does it look like, especially when things are difficult in our lives? I was thinking about the story of Abraham and Sarah, and in the Old Testament, God had promised them a son. God had made a promise. Trust me, I'll give you a son. Your descendants will be as many as stars in the sky. But Abraham and Sarah became impatient. They doubted God's promise. They wandered away from just trusting that God would do what he said he would do. And what they decided to do is they took matters into their own hands. And what they ended up doing was they ended up arranging it that Abraham would sleep with Sarah's kind of servant girl, Hagar. And then she'd become pregnant, and she did. And she had a son, and it was Ishmael. And God still used that situation, but that was not the initial plan, I don't think. They just didn't trust God enough to come through on his promise. They said, oh, we'll sort it out, because God, do we do that? And I also put a note, a little bit of what Jill said, when I looked at this temptation. I put, let's not barter with God, test God. Gideon did that in the Bible, and he got away with it. He was like, I put my fleece out, God, and if it's dew on the fleece and not on the grass and all this kind of stuff, and if you do these little things for me, I'll do what you want me to do. We do that with God, and I don't think it's great. I don't like saying to God, if you do this, then I'll... Come on, God, if you find me a parking space. God, if you heal me, I'll do. I don't think we're there. I don't think that's a good tactic. We're not there to barter with God. We're there to trust God, aren't we? And then the third test, temptation, whatever you want to call that, in the story we heard today, the devil takes Jesus to a high mountain, and he says, you can have all this. All the riches of the world can be yours. All you need to do is bow down before me. I think it challenges who we worship. Worship means to give worth to. We sing the song, I will worship, You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise. We were created to worship God. God, I believe, put that in us. But I believe the issue is that there are many things in this world that are jostling for that place in our lives. The Bible calls them idols. These are things that will try and push their way above God in our lives. They'll try and take the place where God should be in our lives. Idols will challenge our time. They will try and take away time that's God's, and they will try and take that time away. Idols will try and challenge what I call the three P's in our life. They'll challenge what we pursue. Instead of pursuing God, they'll say, pursue me instead. They'll challenge what we prioritize in our lives, where we should prioritize God in our lives. The idol will say, no, prioritize me instead. And they'll challenge what we praise. They'll try and take that praise of God and move it into something else. Someone once said, you can tell what a person worships by what they give their most time to. In the kids' club, I remember years ago, we sometimes used to play musical chairs. I mean, you probably all played musical chairs when you were a kid. And there can be, you know, sometimes musical chairs can get a little bit intense. Nice, friendly children's game. But then you get somebody sat down and the next person's coming along and banging them off the chair onto the floor, and there'll be tears and, you need to push me off the chair. And I remember it well. Happy days in kids' club. But then there's a question, what might be trying to push off to replace what God should be in you as a Christian? What do we worship? We could talk about lots of examples. I think the biggest example, one of the biggest examples, is our phone. What takes our time? What do we pursue? What do we prioritize? What do we praise? And I speak to me about that just as much as anybody else. So I was a bit, like I say, I thought, should I do four sermons? I put four sermons into one. Alison will tell me off. She'll say, you could use them in different weeks. And I'm like, oh, she's not here. But I just wanted to give you this, that reading that will be used a lot in churches either today or next Sunday, which is probably the first Sunday in Lent, to help us to just grapple with a few things. Like it says, lots of the things we can take out of those passages. The power of Scripture is one of them that Graham said really clearly. But then when I said there's just a few, and probably the thing about it is not all of those things will be right for you today, but I wonder what God might speak to you about in some of those things today. Maybe for some of you it is about the wilderness. Maybe you feel you're in a wilderness or whatever, but that sense of if you are in a wilderness, and I know wilderness times are difficult, I'm not saying they're easy, but there's also a question that we could ask if we're in a wilderness time. God, what are you doing there? Because I know God's with you there. How are you preparing me? Are you preparing me for something when I come out of this wilderness, maybe better equipped to face something else? Maybe for some of you, you're just battling. You're in a battle at the moment, and maybe temptation is one of the things that you're battling at the moment, that temptation to do something or not do something or whatever it might be that's outside of what God's best is for your life. Hear again today that God, through Jesus, can help you overcome temptation. Hear again today that there is forgiveness from temptation, that actually you can be set free as well from guilt and from shame and have that opportunity to start again, even today in this place. For some of you, maybe there is a challenge about your prayer and fasting as we move into this Lent time. Maybe you need to think about the discipline and what does it mean to give up something? What might it mean to take up something, you know, as we go through Lent? How might it have purpose and meaning during this Lent time? How might it bring me closer to God? How might I learn something new as I approach Easter again? Maybe it's taking a sheet and doing something like an email or whatever it might be, a reflection every day. Or maybe something about those three tests and temptations, asking those questions again. What do we need? And I know we need food and shelter and that, but we need God. And do we have a hunger daily for God in our lives? Where do we put our trust? Is our trust in God, really? What does that look like for us? Or who and what are we worshipping? What is trying to push God off the place where he should be in our lives? I just wonder, in all that, where God might be speaking to you today. It'd be different things for different people. But as we approach Lent, let's take up the challenge again. Let God speak to us. Let God move in our lives, transform us and challenge us and push us on closer to him, that we can have a fuller experience of this time, this season, as we move again towards Easter. We'll pray about it, but let's sing first the song, "The Lord's My Shepherd." Please be seated. We're going to pray, and I'm going to pray into each of those different things. Might watch a video of a song that I think just speaks into what we've been talking about today before we sing our final song. But I guess because I said lots of things today, different things, I just want to pray into them specifically, because different people, my prayer is, I suppose, was that God would speak to you through whatever. And it may be one of those things particularly, or it might be a couple of those things. But before we sort of start to move away, then we just want to just claim those things. Let's let God speak into our situation as we move towards this time of Lent. Let's begin it well. Let's travel it well. So let's bow our heads again in prayer. Lord God, as we again on the edge of this Lenten season, well, we'll eat pancakes on Tuesday, some of us, but then we'll step into Ash Wednesday and we move through those 40 days towards the glorious celebration of Easter. Lord, we want to use this season well, and Lord, may it start today. As we think about these verses of Jesus in the wilderness being tempted, Lord, we pray that you'd speak into our lives today through them again. Well, for some people here, maybe that wilderness is something that they can relate to. Maybe they feel even now that they're in this wilderness place, they're struggling, it feels a bit dry, they're wondering what on earth we're doing here. Lord, I pray firstly that you'll just have that, they'll have that assurance that you are with them in the wilderness. Lord, however they're feeling, and it's not about feelings, the promises of you is that you'll be there with them. You will look after them in that place. But also I pray that their eyes would not just be down and sad, Lord, that they're there, but they would lift them and say, God, what are you doing here in my life? Maybe God wants to do something, teach you something, show you something, prepare you, I pray, for something bigger and better maybe when you come out. There's promises like the promised land for you waiting. There's ministry that has power like in Jesus. So Lord, just affirming them your presence and just perhaps speak into them, Lord, again, what you're doing in that place in their lives. For some, Lord, it's a battle today. They really feel the battle of the enemy around them. That spiritual battle that the Bible tells us we will face as Christians. We know the enemy will try and knock us off and try and get in the way and distract us and rob us from the things that you've got for us. We know that one of the ways he does that is use temptation. And for some people today, they recognize the temptation that the enemy comes towards them with. Lord, I pray today that it shows them that there is power over temptation in Jesus' name. And we can claim that in our lives again today. And we can come towards you where we have messed up. We can ask you for forgiveness. But forgiveness is always available to a heart that's truly sorry. We can start again today. I pray against shame and guilt that the enemy will often use to try and hold us down. I break the shackles in Jesus' name. Set us free again to claim the cleansing and the renewal of your spirit in our lives. For some, God, maybe we need that challenge again as we go through Lent, how we might use the discipline of self-denial, prayer, fasting, giving up something, taking up something extra, making a sacrifice, not so that we can say, well, aren't we good? But actually that space, that sacrifice can take us deeper into something of you in our lives. That'd be great. Speak to us, challenge us, because that's not easy. But Lord, there's some real value in spiritual discipline, self-denial, for the sake of growth in our Christian journey. And then for others, Lord, just as we think on those temptations, what do we need? Who do we trust? Who do we worship? Lord, we know that the world around us will try and bring idols, distort us, try and pull us away from where you are meant to be in our lives. And actually, you're meant to be number one, the center of our lives. Not just another thing, not, you know, equal top with football or our phones. Help us to put you back where you belong. Help you to be our priority. Help you to be the one we pursue. Help you to be the one that we focus on more than anything else. That doesn't mean other things are not important. But I believe when we focus on you, when we've got you in the right place, the other things in our lives become better anyway. We need you daily. We want to trust you, even when it's difficult. And we want our worship to be towards you, not distracted by the idols and the things of the world around us. Lord, whatever you're saying today in this place, speak to us again, individually. We're a community of people, but we ask for that individual nudge of your spirit, that we're not just hearing words, that actually you are speaking into our lives, that we might go from this place a little bit different, a little bit more transformed, a bit closer to Jesus. So again, we just leave a space just to have a chat with God. Lord, may I desire this Lent to grow deeper into you, to grow closer to you, to become more like you in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before we sing our final song, I thought I'd just show you. I like the band Casting Crowns. They wrote a song, and it's called A Desert Road. And it's sort of that sense of being in the wilderness, trusting God in that place. I'll use this as part of our response before we sing our final worship song together.